You're listening to Somebody Likes It. If you got something to say, send us an email at messagesomebody@gmail.com or check us out on Facebook. We are equally parts wiggity and whack.
Did you just fucking yank the trigger on that?
Yeah. It's what he does, man. God, this guy is a loose cannon.
Sometimes
he's like,
we get radio gold.
I'm going to put air quotes around your producer title now.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. Guy with his itchy trigger finger on the switch or whatever.
I was really into, I think, so we have the, now we have the monitor behind us. God damn it, I wasn't mentally ready for this show to have started yet. I'm having to like do this on the fly. Like,
well,
get
okay.
it together, Bartok.
You can just do it like you usually do and join us whenever you feel like.
I have editing capabilities as well. I mean,
oh, no. You can keep it all in. I don't mind showing weakness.
But well, obviously.
See?
That's a whole lot more to unpack.
Afraid of what you were both saying. But I am crying a little inside. I'm always fascinated when we come in here. We have the big monitor behind Mark now.
Because this show is all about the Benjamins.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you see the quick reaction?
Meaning $100 bills? I'm still trying to.
No, it's just like a guy named Benjamin that sometimes comes by to see what we're doing.
Like some guy that just like knocks on the window, like, "You guys in there? So, can I come inside?" We're like, "No,
I'm Ben."
He's part of the cleaning
it's
crew.
It's Ben.
Anyway, but to your point, Shane. Yes,
oh, nothing. It was well. I'm just always fascinated by the fact, like, that whenever he turns, it's either pictures of like food or like extreme places in the world you can go visit if. You have lots of money.
Oh, yeah. Game within the game could always be like what's going to be on the weird screensaver behind Mark's head.
Yes, that's true. But it's usually that. I don't know.
I suspect we should play some theme music.
I knew. You open your goddamn mouth and this boring ass shit comes out of it. It's always the same fucking thing.
I don't know why you guys keep having me back.
You know what? Maybe I'll take that up with the other two after.
All right. Have a meeting
later. Okay, great. I'm Shane.
Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
And Mark.
Somebody Likes It.
Hey, oh, wait, you had something?
Yeah, just real quick. I was just going to say, you see, right then you should have recorded that because that's the interstitial gold you were talking about. We just had a whole conversation in between segments here.
About lightning bugs?
About lightning bugs versus cockroaches and how they're basically the same animal except one lights up and has a shittier marketing lobby.
It's true.
Yeah.
I essentially have a mascot in my apartment right now.
Oh, yeah, Ryan's got a lightning bug in his house.
One lightning bug.
And it's totally welcome.
Do you only know that it's there at night? Like,
ass lights up like just constantly.
Yeah.
Well, you need to get him out of your house so he can like fulfill his destiny. I don't know. Do males and females light? I'm sure it's a mating thing, right?
Well, a friend of mine was over the other day and she looked it up and apparently they die right after they mate. So I think
you're keeping
the gender of this particular lightning bug, but I might be doing him a favor.
Keeping him alive a little bit longer.
His name is probably Benjamin.
Benjamin, yeah. I'm all about the Benjamin the Lightning Bug.
You should write a children's book, Benjamin the Lightning Bug.
Okay, it's all right, just
about the lessons that you learn about how do you keep lightning bugs alive later. It's like an anti-sex screen. Like you could do like
the upside
it could be something
like
the Texas like Department of Education. Like I don't know, whatever.
The upside is that book could be like 3 pages long because it'd be like page 4. Sorry, kids, he died.
Yeah. Well, I'll have
holes in the lid.
Right.
Look, anthropomorphized insects stay around a little bit longer than that. Okay, Kevin, you were saying.
Yeah, so super excited to announce the reuniting of an act that we've all been kind of on pins and needles hoping to find out. If you're wondering,
about Fresh Prince?
Yeah, I'm talking about Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff are reuniting for performances for the first time in 12 years. And apparently doing some...
Only 12 years?
Yeah, I guess so. that is really the fair
follow-up
question.
Will Smith was like super famous action star 12 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I knew that Will Schmidt. Yeah, Will Schmidt. Yeah, that's another guy from The Office.
Some
dude in your office. Yeah, he's the accountant. Will Schmidt. Yeah. Sure, he gets lots of funny jokes about that. No, Will Smith, I knew his career was in the shitter right now, but like I didn't know it was that bad. He was like, you know what I'm going to do? Like, that's as low as you go to go back to like Fresh Prince and like to get back
parents
to your roots.
Just don't understand.
It's, I mean, it's interesting you pull this up. And so several of my friends from 20, 25 years ago are all getting the bands back together this year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a reunion thing for them. But I mean, obviously they're not making millions of dollars in movies, so maybe their career doesn't have to sink to a low in order to
I mean, Will Smith was making $20 million a picture, but his last like 10 pictures of Tank seriously fucking tanked. I mean, that's, so he's like, he's going back to his roots. He's, and by the way, this is some cheesy ass shit that I could see him doing. Like I was thinking, would he do Parents Just Don't Understand? Better not, number one. But number two, I bet what he would do is get his fucking teenage son on stage to actually sing it while, you know, like.
I suspect that is true.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the kind
so
of thing.
They're headlining a festival in the UK called the Livewire Festival in late August. And MTV's Summer Blast, which is in Croatia, of course, which is like 2 days.
MTV Summer Blast in Croatia.
Well, wait. Okay, so okay, this is interesting. So Summer Blast in Croatia is August 25th and 26th, and the Livewire Festival is August 25th through the 27th. So it just basically sounds like they'll be going back and forth from the UK to Croatia for 2 days, and then nobody knows what they're doing before or after.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I see a big tour, because Will Smith is still a big star no matter what, so that's a different kind of nostalgia tour.
I actually have like a weird affection for solo Will Smith singles.
That's nonsense.
At the time when they came out, I was like above it all and like didn't listen to them. And then later on, I just would hear them on the radio, and I was like,
Getting jiggy with it.
I really love that song.
I'm not kidding.
Ryan, you've kind of got a sweet spot for some like that.
Yeah,
whole,
there is the, like that genre. Upbeat R&B,
'90s like upbeat like '90s hip hop. You do have a sweet spot for.
Yeah, turn your pants around.
When you said like they were going to play a
crisscross, was that?
Yeah, make it jump,
boom.
Daddy Mac and Mac Daddy.
See, you know more about them than I do.
Oh yeah, because I love crisscross
jumping.
Yeah,
jumping as well. But you know, I think jumping is that's one of those things that's sorely maligned as you get older. Because who the fuck didn't love jumping on a trampoline until you hit like 18? You know, like jumping meant,
or you got too close to that branch.
Or you got too close to the trampoline and then you fell off and broke your arm and somebody had to take you to the hospital.
See, kids, when we were little, they didn't put nets around the trampoline.
That's right. You just did it out there in the wild.
I think Kevin actually has a trampoline in his backyard with netting around it.
Yeah, I do as well.
I do, yeah.
Mark's my neighbors had a trampoline with the netting around it, and I wanted to secretly go and just like slice all the netting and pull it off. Like, come on! Like,
well,
that's
you know why you should never do that? And Mark will vouch for me on this. Because here's why. Putting one of those fuckers together is the single most awful, like, painful thing. If you ever try to put one together, did you put yours together by yourself?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I had Janet's help, but we did it Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I brought in a power lifter and between the two of us, barely.
Yeah. No, that's a pain in the ass.
I broke up with a girl on a trampoline once.
You know what? I kind of did.
Over the phone. What would be the perfect line to break up with somebody on a trampoline?
Don't put me on the spot here. I just know that like I told her like, hey, we need to take a serious break, and then she cried.
Look, I got to bounce.
Oh, hey.
There you go.
Mark had it. And a dad bit.
I already see it's going to be that kind of night. All right. Speaking of the night.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we got at hand.
Yeah, so... So this week was my week, and an act that came to light, recently, and has been playing out a little bit, and was given the Grolke Award for the best emerging artist at this year's South by Southwest. It's a pretty fair to partly cloudy, to use a term that Shane loves, indicator of an act that is. A, got like already got some buzz behind it, and B, is probably going to go some places. Like, who's the dude from the soul artist from Fort Worth that,
Leon Russell?
Leon Bridges. That's who it is. Yeah, so Leon Bridges
Russell would be pretty badass.
Yeah, best emerging artist, Leon Russell.
He's like 70.
He'd have to be coming out of the bushes for him to be emerging from anything. Anyway, or just coming out, so whatever. But anyway, yeah. So the band that won that.
Speaking of coming out, I don't want to sidebar us too much.
We were so close.
Barry Manilow.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, yeah. How did that not make it into
good
our
on him.
News?
You know what? You know what's cool about that is that it wasn't a big deal.
No, it was such not a big deal that it was like 3 weeks ago, and I totally forgot.
Yeah. And like, good on him. You know, 4 years ago would have been a big deal.
You think?
Well, also he was much more popular then, but
4 years ago.
40.
Oh, I was
40.
40. Not 4 years ago.
Things have radically changed that much regarding that.
Arbitrary. So anyway, yeah. So Grolkly Award, Best Emerging Artist for South by Southwest 2017 is a band. And I said last week I thought they're from Brooklyn, but they're not. They're from Long Island, which I'd like to just say because you get to punch the D's. But in this case, we're talking about the Lemon Twigs, which are...
two brothers.
Two brothers, Michael and Brian... Daddario, apostrophe.
This is a very Long Island last name. Like,
oh, it's totally. I think. Well, and their dad was a musician, Ronnie Daddario.
That's a very Long Island last name.
Yeah, it is. And he has a he had a record that came out in the 70s called "Nice to Meet You Again," and he totally looks like somewhere in between both of those brothers. If you listen to it, it sounds like. It sounds like, you know, some of their influences that end up on this one. But anyway, yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about is the Lemon Twigs debut record called Go Hollywood.
So I gave a girl a ride home the other night, and I was like, hey, I need to listen to this record for, you know, the podcast. And she was like, oh, it's really 70s. And, well, yes. But also, like, what I'd really been gravitating towards, and I haven't seen it, I've gone and read a couple reviews on it. I got a lot of Elephant Six.
It's yep. Is Elephant Six. I mean, it's like the third or fourth wave of Pet Sounds in the beginning of it.
It's just throwing everything but the kitchen sink at the wall. And so, Shane, well, you probably can do better than I can. Can you explain to listeners who maybe don't know what Elephant Six is?
So Elephant Six was a musical collective in the mid to late 90s. It consisted like the three primary bands, and it grew to encompass many more that are still around, like Of Montreal. But at the time, it was Apples and Stereo, Olivia, Tremor Control, and Neutral Milk Hotel.
And Elf Power, right?
Elf Power was a part of it, but those were like the three primary. Like,
yeah, there were bands that liked each other's music and traded tapes.
Yes. And it was like, you know, great music, but like other than Neutral Milk Hotel, who became like something completely different than that. But Elf Power, I would include in that early of Montreal. It's basically like let's remake Pet Sounds again. I mean, good stuff. A little bit lo-fi, like indie rock stuff. That's sort of what this was, except
you were getting that off this.
Oh, completely. That's what I in the first couple of songs. But I will say this: God damn it! Can these guys just stick to a fucking song? Like, I mean, like 30 every 30 seconds, you're like, man, that
they're
sounds great.
Tack.
And then it's like, boop, boop. And it's like Queen meets Ween meets Apples and Stereo.
Queen Ween.
Queen Ween.
Queen Ween in stereo.
I thought about that earlier, but it does. Except,
no, you make a good point.
Except
sure.
These guys can't stick on any...
They're all over the place. And
even the good songs...
It sounds pretty good, but like they haven't written that song yet.
No. They get close to it on maybe two songs. Like the first one, Baby Baby, is the first song that I could even like handle at all. How Lucky Am I is pretty good, too. As long as we're together and How Lucky Am I are pretty good. But there's a lot of this, like, there's like movements. There's like multiple movements within a song. And it's sort of like there's two things going on. Number one, like those first two to three songs, it's sort of like how my brother explained to me why he can't binge watch Breaking Bad, because like he gets so much pent up anxiety. Like that's what I was actually getting anxiety from listening. I was like, what the? Oh, no, it's, oh, no, what? You know, like, what? Where are they going? Like, why are they doing this?
Are you saying that? But here's a question. Like, legitimately, I'm curious. Are you put off by the fact that they didn't go where you thought they were going to go?
No, okay. Not at all. Because I love that. I think there is just so much cerebral stuff going on. Like, look, it's undeniable. These guys have talent.
Absolutely, and they sound very excited to be making music.
But at the same time,
they're not very focused.
In being okay, but see, there's a difference between like multi-part songs that work. Okay, I'll give you a good example. Band on the Run, That song should make no sense at all. It's just fucking...
Well,
and like,
it's got multi-parts, multi-movements.
It's like multi, but they all, it all cohesively at the end makes sense. And there's a lot of these songs that I just don't...
Well,
give me anxiety.
Okay. Well, they were, what, 17 and 19?
Yeah, 17 and 19 as of last year.
Which is great, and that's why... I mean, they're going to settle in, and they're going to write great music.
They're going to get a lot better.
Well, so I'll share a little bit from the All Music review on this, which I... this paragraph in particular I thought was kind of interesting. They talk a little about the Dario brothers, Michael and Brian. They started their group, the Lemon Twigs, when they were teens and caught the ear of someone at 4 AD who decided the public was ready for two flamboyantly dressed prodigies who thought the idea of Sparks playing Nielsen songs or Todd Rundgren covering the Randy Newman songbook was a good idea. Actually, it turns out to be a great idea, and their debut album, Do Hollywood's the Sound of a Couple of Young Guys, plus a very sympathetic director in Jonathan Rideau of Foxygen, letting it all hang out over the course of 10 surprising, thrilling, infuriating, instantly memorable songs. And I felt like those words all put together at the end kind of are saying a little bit of what I'm hearing from you guys.
Well, I don't think
I wouldn't say
memorable.
Yeah, I would not. I would not agree with instantly memorable.
Yeah, that's my issue with it. Like, there's a lot of twisting and turning, and there's a lot of, on one hand, a lot of musical sophistication, but on the other hand, it's sophistication for sophistication's sake. Like, there's not a lot of hooks. Some of the songs are, and I'm willing to bet, and
I don't.
They'll
stick with them for about 45 seconds.
No. But there are a couple of songs on here, and I'm willing to bet that where they come through pretty much the whole song. Baby, that song, Baby, Baby, I think that's what it's called. Not the Amy Grant song. Which, by the way, I just saw the video to Baby, Baby, the Amy Grant song when I was at the gym the other day, and I couldn't help but thinking, what an odd song to have on the video screens at the fucking gym. Like, dudes are, like, pumping iron, and it's like, Baby, Baby. I don't. And it's also playing over the speakers.
Yeah, that would be a hard thing to get amped up for.
Right.
To...
That's yeah.
Anyway, as far as the songs on this record go,
sorry. that song's a good. Okay, Mark, can you go back to the track listing? That song is a good. It gets weird toward the end of it, and then As Long As We're Together, that song is fucking awesome. It's great. Oh, you know what this, Ryan? You know what this kind of in places reminds me of this album? It's like certain places are a lot like Rufus Wainwright with more whimsy. And I don't necessarily love whimsy in my music, but
that's interesting.
I can kind of see that. I got more apples in stereo minus the killer hooks.
Well, the first three songs are definitely like apples in stereo, but then it does get a little more interesting.
Well, and then it throws in like some Stevie Wonder in the 70s.
There's some Todd Rundgren ass shit going on in there too, like for sure.
All right, so do you guys want to do one of these?
Yeah.
All right, let's do one of these. So the other thing that I will, we'll talk about on the other side, but for some of these tracks, if we mention that there's a video, take some time and catch the videos because these are pretty, I think 4AD spent a little bit of budget on them, but they're also quirky. Like they're as quirky as some of the tracks
are. I think that's
kind
of 4AD's MO.
It is a little bit. All right, well, we can do As Long As We're Together first, since that's the one that we were just talking about. Why don't we do that?
And I live just like an owl, and you think that's just fine. But it doesn't matter anyway. As long as we're together,
another little bit from the All Music review on this record talks about this song in particular. It says, within the course of one song, take As Long As We're Together as an example, one can find soul-bearing lyrics, grass-crackling falsettos, uplifting choruses, rinky-dink synths, left-field tempo changes, unexpected instruments, and simply strummed acoustic guitars. Also, some thrifting. So apparently they did some thrifting.
thrifting, like thrift store shopping.
Yeah. 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 Unless you just
the video, at least, just seemed like a spiritual brethren to You Got Lucky video from Tom Petty back in the day. Like,
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
I don't know if I've seen it either.
Really?
They
we might have to take
they happen upon an old video arcade out in the desert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're out in the desert, and it's supposed to be like kind of futuristic.
I definitely have not seen that.
There are cars involved.
Again, I missed out on a lot of, like, you guys grew up in cities, so you had like MTV and shit in the 80s. Like,
yeah,
I did not until the late 80s. And then it's all like Way Cool Junior. Then it's all like fucking Rat and Def Leppard at that point.
Once you got into Way Cool Junior, it was all over.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We watched that video on the show.
We did.
We have, yes.
Anyway, yeah, that was as long as we were together, and
I
feel
like
that track.
It's pretty good. That's how I feel about the whole album.
But it's one of the better tracks on that, and it still only gets to the point of pretty good. But again, those fuckers are talented, man. Like once they get,
they're gonna nail some song at some point, and
well,
it's
I
want to
know
over.
Who. I'm pretty sure the younger brother. I can't think. I don't know the names, but
Brian and Michael, and I don't. I think maybe Brian is the younger one.
So
but I'm
pretty sure
that
the other song I really like on this record, it's got to be written by him too. They're more straightforward. They're less Beach Boys and Beatles, and more Todd Rundgren a little bit. You know,
I've told you I only know one Todd Rundgren song.
What, In Your Eyes?
No.
In your heart?
I don't want to work. I just want a band.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know In Your Eyes. That's a great song.
Like, I don't think I do.
If you heard the fucking song, you would know it. One of these days, I'll pick it for the middle part.
Anyway.
But the shtick. Okay,
anyway.
So there's this, like, supposed to be funny shtick about how much he, like, kicks in the air and stuff. And that shit gets old real fucking quick. Like,
well,
that's what I thought. I thought in that video, I thought they thought it was way fucking funnier than it actually is.
There's a lot of performance art here, I think, going on.
I think that's true.
It's glam rock for their generation, maybe, or whatever you want to refer to
but
it.
But it's super tongue in cheek, also. And like,
what was your band that was like
David Bowie?
No.
Rod Stewart?
Yeah, I shouldn't bring this up without having it on Instagram.
Well, wait,
so
what's the context?
I'm going to set the mic down while you think of it,
right? And they were like a throwback to I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
Oh, The Darkness.
Yeah,
The Darkness.
Wait. How exactly? Can you just go ahead and just...
I remembered the riff.
No. But just present it the way you just presented. It sounds like... Yeah, whatever. Yeah, see, I was
but
just
we got it.
Have a fight with
but, you. Like, they have a little bit of that element to them. Like,
got it because he eventually copped to the fact that he was talking about the darkness.
The darkness, yeah. They have a little bit of that going on, like, in this video and in their general style. Like, you can't tell if they're, like, joking or winking or not. The Darkness always said they're like, no, they were deadly serious about...
Yeah, there were memos that went around
at
Atlantic when they were on Atlantic that they were like, when the darkness shows up, those guys are not kidding. Like, you don't treat them like they're kidding. But these guys, I do think that, like, along the lines of what you were saying, Ryan, like, yeah, I do think, you know, it's intended to be a little kitschy. You know, they're in the fucking desert with a computer and a couple of synthesizers.
Yeah, by the way, what was up with that computer?
That was like the
that
most
was the
like
best part of
1971 looking computer I've ever seen.
That was my favorite part of that entire video.
It was
that
pretty
weird
great
ass computer. Like, it looked like some like something
it
that
was
came
like a
the
light
Jetsons.
Bright, but it was, you know, actually
it looked
digital.
Like an astronaut's helmet where the lyrics would come up on it.
That's
70s retro green. But what I was going to say, the other thing I was going to say is that apparently on tour they have been playing. They've been closing with a track that's not on this record. That is, I guess, a little bit more specific, like straight rock and roll. And the impression that I get is that that's the direction that the act is going with its next release.
Well, and from what I read, they're amazing live. That's what people have been writing.
I mean, they're obviously incredibly talented. And the other thing I would just wanted to allude to what you just said, Kevin, and that is when you're 18 and 20 years old, like you're, and especially some.
And
especially
ambitious,
if you're that talented and that ambitious, that's exactly what I was going to say, and trying out so many different genres, I think shit's going to move really quick for them, and they're going to move on really quick. And
it'll be fun to watch where they go.
I just couldn't tell what I see.
Is
now.
That from right. South by Mark?
That's so. So Kevin sent me this picture because I was I made the comment to him the other day after my first.
Mark was like, "Who the hell are like, these guys?
This is pretty good. I bet they're really good live." And he sent me a picture.
Did you see
South
that
by.
Show, Kevin?
I did not see that show. That was on the South by website.
So that's one of the Daddario brothers doing essentially a David Lee Roth kick like.
But with a guitar. Oh, but also, yeah. Can we see this? That he's got a full-on fucking minor X on his hand?
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, oh, yeah, because he couldn't drink.
Because he couldn't drink.
At the venue he was playing at.
Right. And the keyboard player is wearing a straight-up, like, full Yankees
uniform. The old school, the baggy
and
shorts.
And then there's just some, like indie rock chick playing bass.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, apparently that's their setup. And I do think my guess is maybe that's they're playing the track that we just listened to, given the fact that he's doing the high kick that you didn't love in the desert.
And part of my
I liked it for a little while, but then it wears thin really quickly.
Part of my point too about bringing this picture up is that if they're pulling off these songs with a four piece live, I think that's a lot of talent. Spread across
it's,
four people.
It's obviously talented. They're obviously talented. It's just at the end of the day, it's sort of like, you know, I think of it like, you know, when you're in high school and there's always one kid that can play the blues faster than everybody else, and that's the stuff that you gravitate toward, like just like a show of flashiness. And that's why I'm saying, like, I want them to grow up and get a little more confident with their songwriting.
Yeah.
Well, maturation for sure.
I just love that it's prominently displayed Maggie Mae's, which is like the cheesiest bar on 6th Street.
I hate that room.
Oh, no. Have you been on 6th Street in a little while?
It's been a bit.
Because it's the Grand Dame now. The Grand
really?
Dame. Oh, yes, my friend. You think about this.
Well,
like
Maggie Mae's traditionally has been where cheesy cover bands play.
Sure, yeah. But now on 6th Street, this is how, like, it's so horrible down there. I was recently there. That like Maggie Mays and the Dizzy Rooster are like,
oh god,
they're like
okay.
they're the paragons of reining it in at
and
some
to be
degree.
Fair during South by Southwest, I think all typecasting at clubs kind of
that
goes out
that
the
is
window.
Definitely true. No,
that's
but
true,
but it is funny to kind of see a band that's like getting some cred
play Maggie
with
Mays.
The big Maggie Mays logo.
It would be even better were it like Dizzy Rooster. Surely there's some kind of double entendre club still left down there. Who knows? Hey, do you want to listen to another
song? Yeah, let's listen to another one. Mark, can you throw up the track listing again for just a second?
I can do that.
Brilliant.
Right so, after this advertisement.
Yes, thank you.
Or like a picture of a bowl of pasta.
So the song that they've been playing when they make TV appearances, they played this on The Tonight Show, and they also played it on their, they did a CBS This Morning spot has been these words. So we'll do that one next. Was ribaldry is a word that I think of.
Certainly the wardrobe.
Wait a minute, did you go to the? I know that it ended last weekend, but did you go to the Renaissance Festival last weekend?
I went to the comedy festival.
So ribaldry was involved.
Yes, there was some ribaldry, but in this case, like if you watch the video for these words, both brothers are dressed up in Victorian era.
Like 18th century.
Way before Victorian.
Like cavemen. I'm not really good with time.
16th, 17th. Yeah, like
dinosaurs. Yeah. Maybe not
dinosaurs.
It's
like the court of King Louis.
Tumbleweeds.
One of them. 15th, 14th,
yeah.
14th.
Yeah. 17th century, anyway, 16th yes. century.
16th, ornate, 17th.
Yeah.
Costumey.
And like with Beauty Marks.
French Revolution era.
Yes. Pre-French Revolution era.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so
that's where we had the biggest argument of the night, by the way, so far, is about the costuming and that. No, 18 said no.
I'm out of here, man.
Anyway.
Dude, also pretty good song.
Yeah, that was a good song.
I really like that song.
Yeah, Mark, you were right on that. That, you know, the thing about that song is whenever it switched over to like its mid song like completely crazy change of momentum in every way, it actually worked there for a minute. It was just like a bridge.
One thing that I think these guys do particularly well is that the kind of soaring choruses that they do, like that feels to me like that's really their power. Like it's like the teeter totter of their music is like that against the sort of 70s glam era drum kit. Like that really essentially in a weird way, you know, is a super oversimplification of what they do, but it's like the tracks that I like, I seem to notice those elements pop a little bit more, and this was one of them.
You know, I hadn't listened to it, or rather I hadn't seen these videos until tonight, but listening to the songs first, second, third, fourth time through, I expected there to be all of the androgyny makeup and glam rock stuff. I mean, I expected that.
Some high kicking. Yeah.
But I think that once they move beyond that, I think that these guys are going to go somewhere. Like,
here's kind of my takeaway. There's that expression that like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I think they're kind of the inverse of that right now.
No, I get
that. They've got a lot of great parts and they're not quite there yet.
Well, and they're both multi-instrumentalists and brothers. Both so brilliant. That's probably like... I'm sure, like to some extent, like you get really comfortable knowing that your sibling will finish your sentences or whatever.
Yeah,
musically,
I think that's going to be by the time we finish.
Were you expecting him?
No,
to
Ryan run never said anything.
Well, I was trying to think of something clever, come up with like, dude, don't throw me on the spot like that.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave it hanging there for a second. So sorry, I jumped in. I mean, you know, basically we're brothers.
From another might as well be.
From another mother. So, you guys want to go to...
yeah, let's talk about the middle thing.
Intermission.
All right,
we're all raising glasses.
To each other.
But I wanted, like, the way that Mark said that, like, we don't know what Ryan picked for the middle part, but you said as though, like, today, for some reason, like, we need to make sure that this... Congratulations. This is an important thing to remember.
I don't know about all that. I do know that what I have picked for the intermission is oddly appropriate for it is recorded by a young person.
Did you just say for it is?
Yeah.
It is oddly appropriate for it is recorded by a young person.
Which young person?
All of these things are true. I did just say that, and I'm going to continue along that tech.
Are you going to continue?
It's Jake Bug, who's...
Jack Buck?
Jake Bug.
Okay, sorry.
Like a bug, like a lightning bug?
That was very different.
Kind of like a lightning bug, like the little mascot I've got in my house right now.
Benjamin.
No, it's just actually a song called Lightning Bolt.
Well, there you go.
By Jake Bug. And I discovered it via a commercial. And I was like, this song's amazing. And I was like, it's either from the 60s or it's current.
I've heard of the name before, this Jake Bug.
He is a young dude. I think he's like 19 or 20. But I saw a friggin' Mini Cooper commercial. And I was like, that song's amazing, and I Shazammed it, and like...
No, but I like how both times you said that song's amazing, you said it exactly, that song's amazing!
As though
you're a game show host.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Did you say it that way?
Auditioning for game show host status.
You're just continuing to fax out resumes.
Yes. So far it hasn't worked out, but anyway, why don't we go listen to Lightning Bolt by Jake Bug?
Okay.
Morning, it's another pure gray morning. Don't know what the day is holding. And I get up right home and I walk right into the path of a lightning bolt. siren of an ambulance comes howling right through the center of town, and no one blinks an eye, and I look up to the sky for the path of a lightning bolt. Met her as the angels parted for her. She only brought me torture. That's what happens when it's you that's standing in the path of a lightning bolt. Everyone I see just walks the walk with gritty, but I just stand by and I wait my time. They say you gotta toe the line. They want the wall and not the wine. But when I see the signs, I jump on that lightning bolt.
I was like, how do I know this video? I remembered that I heard the song like on the radio, went home and like looked up the video. Same thing. I was like, either this song came out like now or it came out like
in like 1963, right, or something.
So here's something I want to point out. Like, so Jake Bugg is now 23 years old, but that song came out 5 years ago when he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it seems to me in the provenance of the discussion of what we're talking about tonight with Lemon Twigs, how they're 17 and 19, and he was like right there. He's like the Rolling Stones to the Lemon Twigs Beatles to me, kind of like they have like
a little. I like that song better than anything.
What I'm saying is they have like eminently 1960s sounding songs with very young gentlemen singing them, coming from two totally different stylistically.
I just want to read a quick snippet from his Wikipedia entry. He states that his formative musical moment was hearing Don McLean's Vincent, Starry Starry Night, on an episode of The Simpsons. His main influences are Don McLean, Oasis, Donovan, The Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, Johnny Cash, and the Everly Brothers. Okay.
Kind of all sounds about right, other than the Don McLean part. One of these kids are not like the other.
Yeah.
Oasis, really? Because he...
He's got Liam Gallagher hair.
He sounds exactly like Liam Gallagher,
though. His voice sounds like Liam Gallagher.
But great song.
Yeah, it's a perfect little pop song.
Yeah, there's just something that was reminiscent of Nick Drake in there. Even though it doesn't really sound like it, mood-wise, I think it was that like kind of rainy day-looking video that was shot, that grainy, rainy day stuff.
Well, okay, so the video, for those who want to follow along at home, you go ahead and look up the video. You're not going to gain much more insight into the song from it. It's mostly just him like walking around, I assume, London.
Amsterdam.
Okay, and a bunch of B-roll.
Well, I'm just saying that like he has this really simplistic style of playing and singing that is like it's more rock and roll. That's why I was saying like the Beatles to the Rolling Stones. Like it's funny to me. Like you have a young guy that has this really simplistic way, and then you have these two other young guys that are doing this really baroque.
It was just interesting to play off
the two of them.
Right, and this is just like a get in, get out. Really good pop song, and I feel like the Lemon Twigs like kind of, you know, just get into like a lot of mischief. I don't know if that's the right word, but
Certainly
they draw
video
things out,
wise.
And they have so many ideas for every little song. And this is just like, hey, I've got a really good idea for one song, and he did it.
It is. Mark's pulled up the Wikipedia page for this guy, and it is. Somewhat fitting that he was supporting act for Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds at a festival in Belfast in 2012.
Yes, that is very fitting.
In any case, we should probably get back into it.
The Lemon Twigs call themselves a rock and roll band, but if, quote, anachronistic were a genre that could be applied to music, then their debut album, Do Hollywood, would fit the bill. It's 70s soul/funk met with the likes of MGMT, which would make for a unique blend of styles, rendering it impossible to pinpoint the year it's made, but it's 2016, and the Lemon Twigs have made their presence known. At the very least, that's what we've been listening to primarily tonight. The Lemon Twigs, I feel like I kind of have a read on where you guys fall overall on this. Shame, was there a track that that jumped out at you, or anything like anything that you found surprising or anachronistic?
Well,
did you find something anachronistic?
Pretty much the whole album is anachronistic, but I think, I mean, a lot of it's surprising. I mean, I didn't dislike the record at all in any way. It's just not, I don't think upon repeated listenings it'll be super fun for me to listen to again, but there's definitely, like I said before, there's songs I like more than others. Some of these songs I think are fucking great. I mean, these guys are, again, we've said it all show, I mean, they're incredibly talented, both of them.
It'd really suck if one of them was incredibly talented.
Yeah.
You know what they need?
It's kind of like Oasis, right?
Maybe, yeah. I guess it could be.
If it were, though.
Yes.
You remember how when we were talking about Travis and I brought up that
you mean the
they
man
had
who?
Like a Svengali guy who like whipped him into shape? I feel like that's what they need. They need like that, you know, Burgess Meredith guy to like focus them.
I think the same thing, but do you think, and I was thinking about this on the way over here because I was listening to it, to the album again, like on the drive down. I always put on the album one more time when I'm driving down here. And I think part of the reason why it feels like they were indulged a little bit. And I think part of that reason why is because they are so uncommonly risk-taking and also brilliant and also really young. Like, I think a lot of people didn't want to rein him in because they're just so excited that this 17-year-old kid is fucking writing.
Is able to do this?
Yeah. You know? And so I think that's part of why somebody wasn't there reining them in.
Yeah. On one hand, I want to go like, this is amazing. But like I said earlier, but I also don't think there's anything on this record that I'm just blown away by. Like one of those, like I'm not going to hum any of these songs on the way home. I'm just not going to.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said, like, why isn't there somebody there whipping them in? You know, like we've talked about this before. Like recently I've been listening to the band James for whatever reason. And it took working with Brian Eno to whip them into shape enough to get a solid, decent, brilliant. Like they've always had brilliant songs. But nobody really whipped him into shape, and that's what it took working with somebody like Brian Eno, like a slave driver like that.
Did he produce Laid?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the song Laid off the album Laid?
No, that whole album, that's the best album they ever put out.
It is.
Yeah, it's a cohesive record, and I think there's a lot to be said about what you just said.
So what's missing? I mean, you guys have talked about that they need somebody to whip them into shape.
Like, I think time is missing. That's all I think is missing.
Yeah, I mean, I buy
seasoning,
that.
I think
life experience.
Best emergent artist fits it really well. I think that
emerging,
guys,
emerging.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like not quite there yet, but like I would not be at all surprised if in 3 years these guys have created something just brilliant.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you know, we recently, and this is an album that's going to come up in my queue not before too long, but we talked like a couple of months ago I played a Temple song for one of the videos, and everybody in this room, they're like, yeah, that song is fucking great. And I was talking about their first record, which was great, but it was like this sort of like jangly 12 string English mid 60s early 70s pop stuff, and I remember thinking that band is going to be great. And they were all like 19, 18, 19. And then lo and behold, 3 years later, like through the lens of, you know, some sort of maturity and going out there and touring and writing and stuff like that, they pared it all down and found something. And, you know, sounds like it's going exactly what I thought might happen. And I predict something like this will happen for these guys too.
So this is a weird parallel to draw, but I was reading... I just finished Judd Apatow's book on comedy. Where
that is a weird parallel.
It is a weird parallel, but you'll see why I'm bringing it up.
Still art.
Yeah. So the book finishes with an interview that he did with Steve Martin, and Steve Martin was talking about, like, basically one of the things that Judd Apatow said to Steve Martin was, you know, you're at the point in your career where you don't really have to experiment anymore. You've shown yourself to be adept at a variety of different things, writing and acting and playing music and whatever, doing comedy. Like, it's interesting. He said, it's interesting to me that you keep, you know, kind of trying to reinvent yourself. And C. Martin said that he read a book on So you read a book on Picasso, and somewhere in this book, the author compared Picasso's later career to Chagall's later career, and basically Picasso experimented until the day he died, like continued to try, like completely tear down the things that he'd done and try to do different things, and Chagall got better at doing the same shit that he'd always done.
And I prefer Chagall.
Well, sure, some people do.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting story. I mean, that is a really interesting thing to think about. Like, well, that's just an interesting thing to think about. I mean, they're both brilliant people and both did different things.
I actually have a Picasso print on my living room wall, but it's not from his Cubist period. And like, anyway,
I think that you're digressing.
The art, itself is not really the point. The point is like sort of if there are. You know, if this particular theory is true and that there are two different directions that you can go as an artist, one being to continue to flip the script on what you've done previously and try and surprise yourself and others, and the other to really refine and perfect what it is that you do, maybe the perfection comes from a place of knowing exactly what you want. And these guys are at an age where they're not necessarily there yet, and they don't have to be.
My guess just getting good at what they're going to be really good at. And
but we don't know. I mean, far be it for us. All we can
just
sit here and listen and just respond.
Mark
to
knows.
I mean, could they refine this and just do this for the rest of their career?
Well, it's
would
such
they
a
be successful, or do you see them as
I feel like
they
have
they
a great pop song in them, like coming up. I mean, they like pop, like they can write melodies. But they seem to be broken up.
One thing that seems to be pretty consistent, and I'll be quick, Shang-Chi, don't forget what you're going to say, but their influences are complex enough, like the way that they distill their influences, even if you don't sort of like the way that they, like the changes happen from song to song, like their influences seem to be pervasive enough and influential enough in what it is that they do, that it's like they'll never... The impression that I get is that they'll never have anything in the tank, just in terms of like reserve, like material you could go to
right,
grasp.
Right, but is their flightiness a reflection of their youth and their immaturity?
Probably
in
we don't know. I mean, probably
or
some
is
of it.
Is it more of a style? Is it more of something that they could TBD. Refine and perfect?
Yeah, I think you're right. TBD. I mean, like definitely. Why don't we listen to one more of these?
Okay, so I'm torn. Like, I want to prove to you is the sort of 50s doo-wop sock hop number, but Shane, you also mentioned Baby Baby. I'm open to doing either one. What do you think?
Baby Baby is for sure my favorite song on this album.
All right, let's spin that one, and we can talk about them both, but Baby Baby is the one we'll do now.
Was it just the best thing on my own? Well, I don't know. I'm no man. He don't think that this is right for me. Maybe not. Hey, I ain't caught. Baby, baby, why you so angry at me?
So I hear a little bit of Starlight Mints in that tune.
No, I think, if anything, like that's one of the things that we've been talking about this whole time is that they really wear some of their influences on their sleeve, and it seems like from a very early age they've been musically exploring. Ryan had an interesting observation, too. Like, were you hearing
like
a little bit?
There's like a coda on the song where it just
Beatles
kind
coda?
Of changes up. Yeah. And I was like, what's that song where they're like, hey, la, hey, hey, lo.
She loves you, yeah. Yeah, no, it's...
But I feel like the Beatles have, like, tighter compositions, which obviously it's the Beatles. Like, you know, that's a high...
Wait, what? I was like...
That's a high benchmark.
Where are you going with this?
That's but a also high benchmark to reach.
I mean, I think you can play that off also to the quote-unquote immaturity of the way that they're recognizing their influences in their music. So
it's partially
switching from one thing to the next.
It's
constantly.
Partially immaturity, but sometimes it feels like this to me, and I've stated this pretty earlier, but I stand by it, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it is something to think about, that they are so talented and so excited by what they're doing at 17 as opposed to their peers that they're just piling it on sometimes. That's what it feels like to me. Like, we could do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this.
No,
and it still sounds great.
It seems like it's very exciting. I don't feel like they found their voice.
But that's what I'm saying is
they found a lot of voices they like.
But that's why they're doing that. Look at them as kids, like high school students. They're doing that. Other kids in high school are still fucking playing Iron Man, you know, on the guitar. So then you start piling it on because you have the ability to do that. And that's what's, it's exciting to be able to just like, to do something that's so far ahead.
And I guess that's what I mean by immaturity is
yes.
It's not that they're immature in the way that they write.
No, they're not snapping towels at people immature. In the locker room.
It's the editing. They're
just not quite mature.
Of their talent.
That's a really great point. And then, like, we talked a little bit last week about this with Michael Jackson's Off the Wall release. And obviously, it's not exactly apples to apples. But like, one of the things you get to do when you're really young is like, and if you're an ambitious artist, like, put shit out there and throw it up on the wall and see what sticks. And you know, I think ultimately this record is. I think it's fair to say that parts of it are uneven, but I think that the highs are pretty interesting, and I'm curious to see where they go next. So,
that's what I have to say. Ultimately, I'm glad I listened to the record. I'm glad you brought it up. Like, it was challenging and interesting.
I am too. Like, I genuinely think it's good. And
I'll keep my eye on these guys now too.
And I will say that I didn't know. When I brought it, I just like was curious enough about their backstory and then the fact that they won this award. I was like, given who some of the past emerging artist folks that South By has recognized, I was like, I'll be curious to see sort of what it is that everybody's putting their finger on. What I didn't realize was some of the garage band psych, Elephant Six type. Over to interludes, and I really feel like that is I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. So there's probably some of this that I glommed onto that, you know, that won't be for everybody, but there's a reason that that stuff
I
keeps bubbling.
It was good.
It'll be fun to see where they go.
I agree completely. All right,
Shane, you have the new one.
Yeah, Kim. Let's Mark. Let's go listen to some Father John Misty.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Maury Povich. Welcome to this special edition of A Current Affair.
Betting Taylor Swift every night inside the Oculus Rift after Mr. and the Mrs. finished dinner and the dishes.
A killer song. I actually didn't like the video as much as the song, personally.
Well, the song. Okay, so I guess that was the song they played, or that he played
on SNL.
On SNL, and the horn section was just domineering.
There was
a live
big horn section on that. I mean,
but no, it was mixed way down.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I thought the song was great.
No, it's a much better song without the horn section.
Yeah, without
like,
the horn section just
like,
blaring.
Just blaring at me.
Does anything really ever sound good on, like, any musical act? I've only seen one that I can think of, and that's the last time Prince played on SNL. Like, we were captivated by it like, and they rolled in both segments. You know how they usually do, like, one segment, then there's a bunch more of the show, then they do the other one?
I honestly think that when they mix those, they mix them for the live audience, and that it's not,
you know, I've never
well
thought about that,
TV
but
at all.
But I totally agree with you.
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of over that little bit, that kind of, you know, it's kind of like when Lady Gaga. Yeah, like it's a little just I'm
over the top.
I think I might be just a little bit over Father John Misty when it like it feels like Lady Gaga, like when, you know, after the meat dress, like where do you go from there?
That video was
like
definitely
that.
Multi-layered. I mean, there was a lot.
There was some amusing
there.
Shit in there, but
Ronald McDonald and
Bill Clinton
and
John Arbuckle.
Kurt Cobain. And
I did appreciate the fact that it was shot kind of in a similar style to. What's the video off the last Nirvana record?
Heart-shaped box.
A little bit like Heart-shaped box. And I
Jamiroquai
think,
also.
Also Jamiroquai.
Where
some
was the Jamiroquai part?
It's the room that had like the...
false
like,
perspective. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Again, it's... Yeah.
It was throwing a lot of shit at the wall.
Yeah.
But fairly amusing.
Some of it was very amusing. I feel like it's time for him to maybe retire that aspect.
Giant and sense of irony?
And start... No, not the giant sense of irony. Just like that, like, I'll do and say whatever, and it's always going to be amusing and always land. And it's sort of like maybe retreading a little bit. You're not going to find a bigger fan of this dude's music than me. And for the most part, his whole persona, but... I was less than impressed.
I have to think that Cobain would have gotten a kick out of the kid from Home Alone playing Cobain.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh, he co-directed that video too, by the way. Macaulay Culkin did.
Oh, is
that
reanimated
who that was?
Yeah, that was Cobain. Macaulay Culkin. Yeah.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
And I also recognize one of the McDonald's characters, one of the clowns.
Was Michael Ian Black in that video?
That's
who it was.
That's who it was, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, there's now he's getting well, of course, I guess he's like Aubrey Plaza did one of the videos off the first record. So Father John Misty is never has any trouble attracting folks to come play the fool.
Well, his music is brilliant, and also he's a fucking engaging dude.
So what is Aubrey Plaza in? Because I could watch her do laundry.
We watched it on the show.
She's
like
in the laundry
ago.
Video.
She was in the cemetery.
Oh, yeah, from the first record?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was nuts. She's crazed.
Well, yeah, I could watch her do laundry too, FYI.
Anyway, yeah, cool song.
Wouldn't
though.
That be pretty creepy if, like,
we just went and sat and watched her do laundry
together?
She's like, what?
Stop.
You want.
Try to do my laundry.
All right, kids, who's got next week?
I have next week. Oh, okay.
You should elaborate about that.
I will. So this is a classic artist that we haven't brought up yet. Very classic album that I somehow haven't listened to, but I have a feeling it's going to be a little hippie, and that's Van Morrison, Astral Weeks.
Hmm. I've never listened to that record. I know exactly one song by him.
Brown Eyed Girl.
And I wish, like, I mean, it's it's retired at
I'm
this
a
point.
Huge, right. I'm a huge fan of the album that came out after Astral Weeks, Moondance. I'm sure.
Well, there's a label, like, named after that song, which has nothing to do with that album.
It's a
Astral Works.
Is that?
There's a label.
I know Astral Works, but is it named after Astral Weeks?
I would suspect so, because, like, it's a electronica based
probably
label.
So I don't know, who knows, but yeah, we'll do some Van Morrison on the other side. So for now,
I'm Gavin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It.